This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. We've got something kind of unusual today in that we are sending this one out to both our Classics and News audience and also our Rhythm and News audience. Joining me today in the JPR studios is the ensemble So Percussion. It's Josh Quillen, Adam Sawinski, Jason Truding, and Eric Chabich. Guys, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are very experimental. Is avant-garde a positive word to use these days, or is it more of a negative connotation to say avant-garde?
I think it's okay, although I think at this point, avant-garde kind of is almost more of a historical term that sort of designates like people who are trying a lot of different things that may be out of the mainstream. I mean, when avant-garde first started, it was very a political thing, like kind of against, you know, certain kind of parts of mainstream society. I would say that's not really how we position ourselves, but when people call us avant-garde, I think we're okay with that, because I think that, you know, people see that it means that we're adventurous and we are experimenting, like you said.
Well, and as our listeners will hear in a few minutes, you do try new things.
Yes, we do.
For sure. The group was founded back in 1999. Where?
We were all graduate students at the Yale School of Music together.
All percussion students,
yeah,
in different arenas, or all following kind of the same format of education?
Well, very much the same arena as we were studying together. It was a classical program. We're playing an orchestra together. But as percussionists, you know, no two percussionists are really the same. People always have different interests, different things that they've done over time. And it's amazing how big and wide an umbrella percussion can be. So within our group, we have Josh, who studied steel drums. Jason did drum set. Eric and I both played piano, classical piano. But Eric also had studied to be a recording engineer at one point. So within the idea of, yeah, we all play percussion, we all went to the same program, you also have many different interests.
So Percussion, my guests, live in the JPR studios today. So the folks that write the pieces that you guys perform, some of these names are going to be familiar to our classical audience, folks like Steve Reich, Arvo Pärt, John Cage. There are also some folks whose names are going to be familiar to our Rhythm and News audience, like Glenn Cochee from Wilco and Bryce Dessner from The National. Where do you guys go as an ensemble to find pieces? There's no website like percussionpiecesforsale.com or something.
Although
like
that's
right?
Not a bad idea. You know, in our case, it really is that we end up developing through many complicated different means relationships with people that turn into cool collaborations. So actually, Bryce is a really interesting example. Bryce was a classical guitar major at Yale when we were there, and he actually heard us play the premiere of this David Lang piece, the so-called Laws of Nature, when he was still a student, and he was like, this is cool, you guys are cool. And as we would talk to him over the years, he'd be like, yeah, you know, I'm going to Brooklyn because I have this rock band that I formed with my friends in high school, and we play on the weekends and stuff. And then that ended up turning into this band, The National, which plays stadiums now. They're absolutely huge. So for us, it wasn't like, oh, let's find a rock and roll guy to write us a classical piece. It was actually this relationship we had with somebody from music school. And it just so happens that, like, if you're interested in different kinds of music, you can sometimes make, you know, parallel careers like Bryce has done as a composer and in a rock band and as a guitarist.
Let me question one of the things you just said. We're looking for a rock guy to write us a classical piece.
Right.
Do you think of the pieces you perform as classical pieces?
That's a great question. Just a little bit, to the extent that, you know, most of the pieces that are written for us by composers are written down. At some point, we have scores from them. But it's true that the process of getting there is usually pretty messy. And also, when we know somebody really well and we work with them, sometimes we work in a kind of shorthand. So it's not always that we get just kind of like a printed and finished score. But it's a tricky term, classical. And when people hear it, they think of a lot of different things. The music we play sounds nothing like Mozart. So if that's what you associate classical with, it's true. It doesn't feel like that. But we do kind of come out of some of what that, like, cultural tradition is about in the way that you work.
Well, let's hear what the music you perform does sound like.
All
So
right.
Percussion, my guests, live today on Jefferson Public Radio. Okay, some of this stuff is going to be entirely unfamiliar to our listeners. So tell me a little bit about what we're going to hear and perhaps what we should be listening for.
Okay, great. So the piece we're about to play right now is Steve Reich's Clapping Music. And it was a piece he wrote after being inspired by seeing a flamenco show and also being very uninspired about the fact that he was carrying tens of thousands of pounds of equipment as he was touring all over Europe. And he's like, I wanted to make a new piece and I don't want to have to bring any new equipment for it. So he saw these flamenco players and dancers, and he's like, maybe I could just write a piece for clapping. And so that's what we're going to do right now.
That is a piece called Clapping Music. It's the music of Steve Reich here on Jefferson Public Radio, performed live in our studios by the group So Percussion. They're in concert tonight, 7:30 at the SOU Music Recital Hall. Information at chambermusicconcerts.org. Well, there is obviously something lost in translation between when you hear a piece like that and when you're able to actually watch the performers. How do the four of you choose who performs which part of a piece that sounds very, very similar when only listening to it?
Ah, that's a great question. You know, traditionally, when we first started the group, we played a lot of music of Steve Reich's and like that, where everybody's playing the same instruments. And actually, originally, we would choose it really based on chance. We'd say, okay, we're four percussionists who can kind of, we have this skill set. So we would really choose out of a hat. So for years, when we played John Cage's Third Construction, I chose part number one. And on David Lang's, I chose part number four. And now for the next 10 years, we'll either say, oh, let's just do Lang parts, and that means I play part four, or let's do Cage parts, that means I play part one. But more of the music that we started to play after some of that early Steve Reich stuff, which is pretty kind of equal opportunity in terms of parts, we've kind of developed skills that are more specific. And like Adam said earlier, you know, I play a lot of drum set, Josh plays a lot of steel drums. So when things get more specific, we kind of go to our strength. But when things stay kind of equal opportunity, it's funny. We still, you know, put the little piece of paper in a hat and go ahead and pull it out.
Yeah. Unlike a lot of the repertoire in classical music, where the instruments are pretty consistent from piece to piece, and if you are a performer, you bring your cello with you or your violin with you, a lot of the stuff you play is dictated by the instruments that it calls for and what you can reasonably bring out on tour with you. So the show tonight features a piece for, what, vibes, marimba, something like that? That's obviously a little more unwieldy to travel around than your hands, which right. Tours quite easily. What stuff goes out on tour with you guys, and what do you have to leave at home or bring to only special performances?
Well, I love that about a percussion quartet. I think anybody at home listening, if you were to come to hear a string quartet tonight, you could close your eyes and you could picture what the stage is going to look like. I think if anybody closes their eyes and pictures tonight, there's no way you're going to guess what this stage looks like. You know, a percussion quartet, really every piece we play kind of is its own world in terms of the instruments. And you're right. Some things like we're playing a piece that was commissioned for us by Steve Reich. It's called Mallet Quartet. Maybe the most traditional in terms of instrumentation is it's a quartet of mallet instruments. So two marimbas and two vibraphones. And maybe some of you can picture what that looks like. It is big. These marimbas are rather large. And luckily, the SOU percussion department is just a really kind of top-notch department. So they have beautiful instruments for us to play on. We don't have to bring that around with us on a plane or anything. Some of the other things are much more specific. Instruments that were built just for us, or instruments that we kind of gathered ourselves to make the pieces our own. And that's what we kind of throw into a bunch of bags on the plane and kind of wheel out with us.
The mini stage that we have set up in our studio today, and we'll have some pictures of this up on our website later this afternoon, is kind of a combination of a kid's playground, a high school shop class, and a drum store.
Yeah, is that, love it.
Is that
love it.
Safe to say?
That captures a lot about us. I think we try to be fun. We try to have that kind of, like, you know, stick with that kid naivete. But yeah, we take what we do seriously too. I think that's maybe what the table looks like.
So Percussion, my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. SoPercussion.com is their website to learn about the group and the kind of music they perform. All right, I want to hear another piece, but I have one more question before you play. When you were playing the clapping music, it seems that the four of you are looking internally, you know, many eyes closed, and you're very, very focused on your individual part and how it plays in the overall. When you're on stage as a percussion quartet, do you think about the choreography of what you're doing as well as the sound of what you're doing in order to make it appeal to the audience in front of you?
We do very much. And I think we think piece to piece about the choreography or the communication. You know, when Adam was talking about earlier, you asked about the kind of classical tradition we come from. I feel like it's the chamber music tradition that we come from. So Steve Reich's piece doesn't necessarily fit into that in terms of communication. We're kind of more introverted in the way we perform, you know, eyes closed, kind of in. Yeah. But a lot of the pieces you'll see tonight are set up much more like a string quartet in terms of, like, you know, we're really trying to highlight the communication between the parts and between the players, and it's fun to do that. So with something like Bryce Dessner's piece or John Cage's music, I think it's much more kind of interactive. And we think about the way we put that on stage to try to reflect that, the nature of the piece.
What are you going to do next for us?
I think let's do a little let's do a little John Cage. This is a piece that's pretty early. It's called Living Room Music. It's in four parts, and originally it'd be played, if you picture the stage, there'd be a living room set up on stage, kind of like Stomp before Stomp.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
But the second movement of it is a vocal piece. It's called Story, and it's based on a short poem by Gertrude Stein.
Once upon a time, a time, a once upon a time, a once upon a time, a time, a time, a once upon a time, once upon a time, once upon a time, a once upon a time, a time, once upon a time, upon a time, upon a time, a time upon a time, upon a time, upon a time, world, 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 once upon a time, a time, upon a time, a time upon a time. Once upon a time, the world was round.
And you, and it, and you could go on it. You could go, and you could go on it. And you could go on it, you could go on you. And it, and you, and it. You could go, and you could go on it. And you, and it. You could go on it, and you, and it. You could go on it, and we could go. Around and around and around. 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 Around and around, around and around, around and around,
a good, and a good, and a time, and a good, once upon a time, a time, a time, once upon a time, and a good, upon a time, a time upon a time, and upon a time upon a world,
you
round,
you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round, you round,
upon a time upon a time, 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 upon a time upon a time.
You it, you it, it, you it, you, you it, you it, once, it, you it, you it, you it, you, you it, you it,
once,
it,
once upon a time. The world was round.
And you, and it, and you could go on it, you could go, 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 you could go.
Could, and a, and a,
around and around and around, around
and around and around. The world was round.
That is So Percussion live today on Jefferson Public Radio. So many of the pieces that you perform are, as we talked, very subtle. They change over time. That's sort of one of the characteristics of minimalist music, which is the era from which a lot of the things that you play are pulled. That can be a little challenging for people who aren't familiar with it to follow along with. So you were talking about choreography and what you do visually on stage. How do you help a new audience follow all of the various intricacies that you're doing up on stage so that it doesn't just go by without anybody noticing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the great advantages we have as percussionists is that it's pretty built into what we do. I mean, when you ask about the intricacies of how things change, you know, if you're playing a violin or an oboe, the intricacies of how they are changing what they're doing is kind of opaque to somebody who doesn't know how that instrument works. Like I don't know how an oboe works, really. I know you blow air through it. But when people are doing, you know, all the different fingerings, I don't understand how this fingering or that fingering, you know. Percussion is actually a very primitive instrument. There's a lot you can do with it, but at the end of the day, you're taking something and you're hitting something. And everybody can identify with that. So when things are changing in our music, especially when you come and see a live show, when things are changing, you're really, really seeing visually patterns changing. You're seeing ideas change. You see us pick up a different pair of sticks and you realize, oh, that's probably going to make a different sound than the ones that they just had. Or we walk over to a completely different instrument. So I would say just like Jason was saying earlier, you don't know what's going to be on stage. And when you see the concert, just the way we move from one instrument to another and how things change visually, it's just built into what we're doing. And that's really nice for us because it means we don't sort of have to like have a meeting about like, how are we going to make this music, you know, register to people? How are we? It's like, let's just play it really well and let's think about how we set up the instruments, how we look on stage, how we move together.
Hmm. A group that has been a pioneer in showcasing newer music is Kronos Quartet. Yep. They've been around for a very long time and are quite well known in those circles. You guys have had some pretty good tickets punched, like the NPR Tiny Desk concert and having music on The Jinx, which was this great documentary about Robert Durst. Right. You've been on a live show with Radiolab with Jad and Robert. That's not a bad lineup. What do you think is you can attribute that kind of curiosity and interest in the things that you do too?
We're excited when people, the kind of profile like Radiolab, get into what we do. I mean, you can attribute it to a lot of different things, one of which certainly is that there's been a growing and increasing interest over the last few generations in percussion music and percussion instruments. And so John Cage, that piece we just did, Story, that piece was written in 1940. And I imagine at the time there were a lot of people saying, you can't make a piece just out of rhythm. Well, nobody would say that now. And we're only one of many different kinds of groups and people who are doing a lot of music that calls on those resources. And we're just like, we've been lucky and really happy that people have been interested in what we do. I will say that playing John Cage and playing Steve Reich, these are composers who people have had decades. Yes, it's a smaller audience, maybe a smaller group than for big pop acts or rock acts, but there's been decades where people have been interested in their music and following it. So when we came along playing some of their music, it did become a way in for people who liked their music to then check out other things that we were doing as well.
There is a piece in your repertoire where you literally mic a cactus.
Yes.
Is that the weirdest thing that you've ever brought on stage to play?
Weird is a hard word to define in this context, but I will say that was John Cage's idea, which we totally ripped off and did our own thing with it with this group, Matmos. We made an album together called Treasure State. John Cage's version of Amplified Cactus is very, as you might imagine, very meditative, a kind of improvisation. And our version of it uses, you put it into PA speakers, you make beats out of it with Matmos, and it's kind of a big and really, really fun piece.
Do the tines of cacti sound good?
They sound great, and they all sound different because they're different lengths. So you get all these different pitches out of them as
well. Can you trim them with, like, fingernail clippers?
You could, but I think we're usually excited about, like, here is our cactus, and here's what it does. Yeah.
For those of us who are not professional percussion performers, when we get nervous or stressed out, we'll click a pen, or we'll tap on a desk, or we'll do some sort of other nervous tick. What do people who are professional bangers and hitters of things do as nervous ticks?
Well, it's probably a little different for everybody, but a lot of us have a sort of like, you're just sitting around and just kind of, you know, that
just
kind of thing.
Unable to turn off the rhythm that's inside.
You should be able to do it because it can drive people crazy, like your wife or something. So, you know.
And before I let you go, and you guys are going to do one more piece for us, tell me about Music for Trains.
Cool. Yeah. That was a curveball. Okay. Actually, Music for Trains, there's a bunch of projects that we've done now over the last 10 years where we write the music ourselves. And we not only write the music ourselves, but we conceive of them as being sort of theatrical events. We have a director. We think about staging. We think about where we are, that kind of stuff. And so actually, the very first one of those we did was up in Vermont. It was called Music for Trains. And it's where we installed at a couple of different train stations in Vermont, Brattleboro and Bellows Falls. We installed these like site-specific percussion pieces at those train stations and play them for people. And since then, we've did a project called Imaginary City at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, another project called Where We Live. And we're actually working on a project right now it's about gun violence in the U.S., and it's called A Gun Show. So pretty heavy topically, but very much us writing the music ourselves, collaborating with other performers, a woman named Emily Johnson. And so that's another strain of what we do, where we just write the music ourselves. We come up with the shows all on our own, as opposed to doing commissioned music or by other composers.
Tell me about the pieces that are on the program tonight.
So the program tonight is all, except for one John Cage piece, all pieces that were written for us. So one of the pieces is by Glenn Cochi. It's from a project called Drum Kit Quartets. Glenn Cochi is the drummer in Wilco, and also another one of these people who has this dual parallel life as an interesting composer and a rock musician. And so we're playing a marimba piece from Drum Kit Quartets. That's an album that's going to be out next month on Cantaloupe Records, all of the Drum Kit Quartets. We're doing Steve Reich's piece, Mallet Quartet, which was written for us. We're doing John Cage's Third Construction, which is a whole lot of fun. And we're doing Bryce Dessner's piece, which is called Music for Wood and Strings. And it's made for these instruments that he invented for the piece. It's a kind of hybrid guitar, hammer, dulcimer, amplified string instrument that we play with sticks, actually with pencils.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Percussion are live today in the JPR studios. SoPercussion.com. That is spelled S-O. The O has a line over it so that you hopefully know that it is So Percussion. SoPercussion.com is the web address. You've got one more thing for us today.
So this is group member Jason Truding's piece, and it's called Life is Blank, but the blank is actually like fill in the blank. So it's like a little fill in the blank with parentheses around it.
That is So Percussion live today in the JPR studios. I have to say, probably the wildest and most creative live session that we've ever had here.
Best compliment you could give us.
To learn more about the group, their website is sopercussion.com, spelled sopercussion.com. It's Josh Quillen, Adam Slewinski, Jason Truding, and Eric Chabich. Guys, thanks again for coming in. This has been a real pleasure.
Thank you for having us.